It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Rena Von Dina. He is promo code Ron Von D. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Not great. I didn't have a great weekend, Richard. Well,
what happened?
As you know, we've discussed at length that we often refer to ourselves as the Sunburn Boys.
Yeah, we earned that nickname.
We earned that nickname.
I believe it was the spring of 2001.
Spring of 2000. Yep.
Down at Delray Beach, Florida.
So Richard and I
absolutely roasted.
Because we both said to each other something about us burning easily. And we said, and I think we agreed upon it, we're fine. We're in the water.
Yeah, that was at the time I thought sound logic.
Yeah, and we're like, we're in the water, we're fine, right? So we're cool.
It only intensified the burn.
Now, you wound up with sun poisoning.
Correct.
You literally were poisoned by the sun. You had blisters, you got physically ill.
Let me down, it poisoned me severely, about the face and neck.
Yes, so I got it on my chest and back. And now what I've come to realize, Richard, I actually Googled this because this has been my whole life and I just assumed it was me and people think I'm lying. There is a condition that I have that I just found out about.
A condition?
Yeah, it's called Hell's Itch.
That sounds about right.
It's a real thing. You can Google it. Because remember when that happened to me, like the next day, I was like so itchy. Like I couldn't put on clothes. I couldn't sleep. And like people were like, oh, you just got sunburned. I'm like, no, my skin is itching. And it itched for like 48 hours and I couldn't itch it.
It was incredible because... So we're down there at Florida. Yeah. We did spring training every other year in Florida. And obviously, you know, because we're very smart, we're able to go to a very good school. We're very good at sports. We're able to go to a good school. And so we're down there thinking the world's our oyster. That, believe it or not, Ryan, was the first trip I had ever physically made to Florida.
Mine too.
That's our problem. We were newbies to Florida and got to Florida. Roasted.
So
my face was so bad. In between
it was disgusting.
I would fill up the sink with ice water and just hold my face in it for as long as I could hold my breath.
And I would sit in bed and try to not move. All right. So basically, to put a button on that, by accident, it happened again this weekend. I got a really bad sunburn. I got cooked up on my back.
I thought, not to tell stories out of school, I thought you wore a special sun shirt now.
I did. So I usually do. But I was at my parents' house and they have a pool and the sun, for whatever reason, it was slightly overcast, which is when it gets you, right?
Yes.
So I was with my daughters in the pool and they wouldn't leave. They didn't want to leave the pool. I was only in the sun maybe an hour.
Oh, that's
it was
too much.
So,
that's too much.
No, but I was like 20 minutes, 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
So yeah,
I was like
in and out.
It's too much for me. I tried to put on as much. So anyway, so I've spent the last day and a half itching.
Oh,
I'm okay. Man. I'm on the other side of it now. But if you look up, it is referred to as Hell's Itch most commonly. It is also referred to as the Devil's Itch. And then, like, honest to God, or it's called like Suicide Itch because people are like, and it's a very understudied thing, but 5 to 10 people who get sunburns experience it. And I'm one of them.
Well, I'm sorry, Ryan.
So I haven't really seen what it is. I know what it is now. And like,
That sucks.
It sucks so bad.
Because all you want to do is enjoy some outdoors time, but you can't.
And I can't. Like
the sun is our enemy.
And it was the first time in 12 years together that my wife has actually seen me go through it. Yeah. And she's like, I thought like you were just, you know, pale and like didn't like the sun. I'm like, it's really bad.
Well, and that's what I'm worried about too. And so I was actually this weekend also at a pool and my wife and I are just lathering our daughter up with lotion. And I'm just like, there's a 50-50 shot. She has my skin and she's porked, if that's true.
Oh my God. And my wife, who's blonde and blue eyes, I have a blonde daughter and a very a brunette but fair skin daughter.
Yeah.
All of them tan. All of them tan.
That makes sense.
My wife's whole family think I'm the biggest baby, but I'm like, really? Like, this is like,
no, the sun's our enemy.
Excruciating. Yeah.
The sun is our enemy. And the sun is also undefeated against us.
Oh my God! Not even close. Like
it's
we haven't.
Really, it's
haven't
not even
a point.
I would call it a rivalry, but we haven't even. made a dent.
I will tell you one more sun story, and then we can kick off the podcast. So my wife and I were going to Mexico for our honeymoon.
Nice. Wow. Hey, and I went to Mexico too.
About a month before, my wife's like, you should probably you should probably go get like a base tan.
Mm.
Like you should probably just so you don't get absolutely nuked when you're down there. Like you should probably go. So she was going tan, you know, as one does before you want to look tan for your wedding.
Tanning beds are, sorry.
They're awful. They're the worst thing. Yeah. So I walk into this place where she, like my wife and all of her sisters go, she knows the guy. And he's like, honestly, dude, he's like, I'm not even going to take your money. He's like, you should have started this like 6 months ago. He's like, it'll do nothing for you. He's like, I'm not even going to. He turned me away. I was turned away from a tanning establishment. Don't even bother.
You've been thrown out of an eye doctor and a tanning bed.
And the guy was like, I was like, well, what do you want me to do? He's like, find some shade, man. He's like, yeah. Honestly, he's like, don't bother.
Dude, I'm telling you, me and my wife did a trip before we were married. We went to Aruba.
Yeah.
And
had one happy island. Love that place.
She's tanning the whole time. It was amazing. I would go back in a second.
Yeah.
And I was just out there under my little palapa. I'm like, honestly, the risk versus the reward here?
Nope.
What? I'm a slightly darker hue?
Yeah.
No, thanks. What does it matter?
I'll swim for 20 minutes and then I'm back into the shade.
I'm back in. I get enough color just mowing the lawn here.
Exactly. And fuck the sun.
So, anyway. Ryan, I actually have a bit of a would you rather.
Okay.
I mean, last time we've tried a would you rather, it didn't go our way. But here's sort of one that I've had.
Okay.
I don't know if you've been following along at all with like the coronavirus.
I can't miss it. Yeah.
Coronavirus is just knocking people across the country. Now, I read somewhere. Now, this may have been updated, but I read somewhere that the company Pfizer is making some headway in a potential vaccine.
Of course they are.
As they should.
And they're going to sell it to us for $100 a pop. You can continue.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Would you rather just wait it out until we get a vaccine from somebody else, which might not be until, say, next spring, next summer, God only knows. Or I can give you the vaccine right now, but you would have to be with a rock hard erection all the time.
For a year?
24/7, 24/7 boner. Because I'm guessing Pfizer may be sort of a side effect.
They're
the Viagra people.
Yeah, you sure?
Side effect. You are stiff as a board, 24/7, 365.
Can I tuck it into my waistband?
You do whatever you want with it. Do whatever you want with it.
Will this vaccine be effective?
100% effective. I can promise you, you'll never get the coronavirus, but you're always hard.
I can't do it. I'll wait till the spring. Can't do it.
Come on. But right now,
I'm an educator. I can't walk around hat like full tent pole.
You can lose the mask. No mask.
But you don't have a mask. No, if I'm walking around, tell you what, if I'm walking around with a boner 24/7, I'm putting the mask on for people to know it's me. I'm leaving the mask on.
Peace of mind, though, you know that you won't get coronavirus.
I'll wait till the spring.
Yeah.
Give it a couple trials. See what's what. You know, I work with children.
What if though? Play it forward. Play it out.
Yeah,
it's the only vaccine, and they're like, "Listen, we've tried it. We've tried it. But we can't get rid of the boners.
What we do? We then normalize boners.
Yes, finally.
That's finally. We can finally. I don't have to be ashamed of it. We're
14-year-old Rich Keefe can live in a world where everybody is the same.
My friends, my buddies from home and I talk about all the NRBs, no reason boners. Remember no reason boners?
No reason boners.
You're just sitting in class, just like teacher. And that's obviously when you have to stand up, right?
Look,
no reason boners, man. That happens.
All the time. All the time in high school.
One of the things she was fascinated about, no reason boners. And there was a thing on the internet, like on Instagram, some girl was like blown away by the fact that guys have to take their pants to their ankles when they go number two.
Yeah.
And I had to explain to my wife why you had to do that, because you have to, not to be crass, we don't want to work blue here, not to be crass.
Yeah.
You get this tucking that happens when guys poop, when she's like, what?
Well, what do you want to do with
it? Not only that, but like most of the time when you poop, you pee.
A lot of like, times, little ace deuce. Yeah.
Little ace deuce, you know? She was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You tuck it between your... I'm like, yeah, you have to.
What
else are you going to do with it?
Where's it going to go?
Well, apparently, women just pull their pants to their knees, and they're fine.
Yeah, it's all under there, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's why.
I don't really know how it works.
We can't do that. Yeah, there's a lot of... I've never actually seen it. Yeah.
I've heard good things. I've actually get even still to this day, this is also crass.
AC Slater's. Sometimes you get naked.
No, I've never AC Slater'd. I'll get road trip, road boner. No reason.
Just oh yeah, driving. It's the vibration. Is it?
Yeah, just cruising around. You're playing like a, you know, a person, place, or thing, or you know, you're just having a discussion, and then all of a sudden you're like,
you know, our boy the fridge.
Of course,
he and I used to work for the moving company, and he would sleep in the back of the pack van, like face down. And anytime we'd show up to the site, because he was face down, laying down, we get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to go on a move or whatever.
Yeah,
always he's adjusting, tucking, because every time the vibration got him. In the back
so
of
anyway,
the
to let the record show, you would say no to a coronavirus vaccine right now if it meant 24/7 boner.
Well, yeah,
you
I know, would say
and
because no
here, Ryan, you say, "Oh, I'll wait till the spring." Hate to be Debbie Downer, may not be the spring, maybe later.
Well, you said, "Yeah," but you said you might have to wait till the spring.
Right now, I feel like that might be best case.
Yeah, that might be best case, but you know, as until we normalize boners, I'm staying away from it.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, wait till we get to the news.
This week in Dork. Yeah.
That gif every time. All right,
Brian, did you see the Boys Season 2 teaser trailer?
I did.
This is the most anticipated show of 2020, without a doubt.
Maybe ever.
Maybe ever. I have such a short memory.
More than Captain Marvel.
I can't wait. The season one was so good. And then
I
this
feel
just like
they're
like
coming out swinging. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause they tweeted out, we talked about it last week. They did like the first 3 minutes of season two. And then this was just more of like a trailer of like a whole bunch of stuff. And it's just, I can't wait. So September 4th, we'll get the first 3 episodes of it.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Just in time.
Just in time is right. We also got a teaser for Halloween Kills, the sequel to the new Halloween that Danny McBride was a co-writer on, and they also pushed it to 2021, which is not a surprise at this point.
Not a surprise, but it should come out on Halloween.
And this was this was like a 30-second teaser of just all the women, Jamie Lee Curtis, her daughter, and her granddaughter just screaming because the fire department was on its way to put out the fire, and Jamie Lee Curtis was saying pretty emphatically, Ryan, to let it burn.
Yes, don't put it out. Let it burn. Yeah,
she wanted it to burn,
which you know, sir. She's the homeowner, sir. Right? You know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
This news just came out today that Star Wars is going to have a new series, animated series on Disney Plus coming out next year, all about the Bad Batch, which was from the Clone Wars. So it's a spinoff from the Clone Wars. It was a story arc for what the first half of the last season of the Clone Wars. Pretty good, pretty entertaining.
Those guys are awesome. So I can't, they're clones, but they're not like, they're like the first batch of clones that aren't like perfect yet. That's
yeah,
why
they're
the
they
bad
all have
batch.
Like a, they're almost, they're almost like the Avengers. Like they each have a, like a very specific skill set that separates them from being just like a regular clone.
Which is awesome. And
it was interesting because I didn't love a lot of the clone stuff. Like, my favorite stuff was Ahsoka Tano or some of the villain stuff, all the Darth Maul stuff. That was my favorite stuff of the Clone Wars. But of all the clones, the Bad Batch was the best.
And that I was going to say the same thing. Of all the clone stuff, that got kind of boring. Like, to be honest, like, through, like, there was some of the seasons, like, that stuff was kind
of
boring. Because they'd go back and forth with arcs.
Yeah.
You didn't need it. This was the only stuff I was like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that was good. So I'm glad that they're getting their own show.
We have a new Batwoman. It's going to be Javicia Leslie.
Yeah.
I think that's how you say it. And great. I mean, I don't really know much about her. I would just say great because they originally said they might do a whole season without Batwoman and that the show would go on and the storyline would be like, where's Batwoman? But like, you can't do it that way.
No, no. What?
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
What?
So at least they
I mean, maybe they're just like, we're thinking outside the box. You know, like, what if we had a Batwoman show?
Yeah.
Without Batwoman.
Like, nah, man, you need like, Batwoman, probably.
Get out of here with
or that. Or you would just call it something else.
Call it something else, yeah.
Ryan, The Old Guard is on Netflix now. It is the newest movie to come out here in 2020 with Charlize Theron. It's actually a comic book, which I'd never read. I think Greg Rucka
never read
it wrote
it. I never, but it looks good, and it's getting good reviews.
So I saw it.
Yeah.
And At best, it's good. It's definitely not great. It's one of those ones, or to me, it's I would say of the Netflix originals that have come out, it's probably better than The Five Bloods, but it's worse than Extraction. That's where, that's personally where I would rank it. I'm curious to where other people, it's 2 hours long. I don't know if it needed to be necessarily. There is some good action scenes. Overall, it's a good story. Not my favorite. And I think with every, I've seen 17 movies now that have come out in 2020. And with the exception of The Invisible Man, they're all like, I would start off by saying, well, considering nothing is out, this is okay. You know what I mean? Like, if it was a normal year of movies, this would, to me, would be the kind of forgettable.
Middle of the road. Now, did you finish Eurovision?
No, I got to go back because that was when my wife and I started it together. Yeah. So I'm like, do you want to finish it? And she's like, it sucks, but sure.
I made a great Ya-Ya Ding Dong reference playing Call of Duty the other night. And Mac was the only one who got it.
Yeah, I'm not, I wouldn't get it just yet.
I love... No, you've seen it. If you've seen the first half, remember when they're playing in the band and the guy's like, play Ya-Ya Ding Dong.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and they're
yeah.
Like,
oh,
they're yeah, like, yeah, 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 yeah. And then I they're out and they have like, oh, we're in this bar and we don't know what to do. And the guy comes by, starts fucking screaming at him. He's like, get back in there and play Ya-Ya Ding. Like,
yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
song Ya-Ya Ding Dong. I love that song, by the way.
I saw that part. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not, yeah. I haven't finished the movie yet. Ryan, this news just came out. Vivica A. Fox said that she wants Zendaya to play her daughter if they do a Kill Bill Volume 3.
I thought Tarantino was done.
So, yeah, I think directors say a lot of things, though. I wouldn't be surprised to come back. Now, she also she tried to clarify real quick. She clarified because she did an interview, and she was like, that was of, like, established actresses. She's like, if the girl who played my daughter in the first one grows up to where Tarantino wants to use her, she's like, I think she'd be great. But anyway... Yeah. Zendaya would be sick as
she would
her
be
daughter
great.
Grown up.
She would be great. And what was her name? I forget her name, like the daughter's name in the movie.
Oh.
It would be great if that girl was going after Beatrix Kiddo.
Yeah.
And then she had to train Bibi, her daughter.
Oh, or you don't think they would go after each other?
No, that's what I mean. So, like,
you have
what's the name? The her daughter coming after her, and she's like, "All right, I got to train up my daughter, Bibi, to like take her on."
So, Vernita Green, aka Copperhead,
yeah,
was Vivica A. Fox.
Right.
I forget what her daughter's name was. I can't find that.
I don't know if they actually said it.
They might have actually, but either way,
yeah,
that'd be pretty sweet. Good.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, Ryan, have you seen any of this Amber Heard versus Johnny Depp lawsuits?
So there was this thing that I saw that she posted a bunch of pictures with his lunch, which was like basically like whiskey and like three lines of Coke. And then she put like a picture of him like passed out in his office with like weird socks on. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Well, yes and no. There's a lot going on because you remember originally it sounded like Johnny Depp was the abuser.
Right.
Then do a 180. It sounds like Amber Heard was the abuser.
Like, she almost cut his finger off. She cut like the tip of his finger off with a bottle or something like that.
Now, I don't know what to believe because there's a lot of he said, she said very much so in this.
Hey.
But one of the stories that I read, Ryan, is that Johnny Depp filed for divorce after Amber Heard shit in their bed as a prank.
As she pranked him.
The classic gotcha. Hey, did you see that shit in there? That was mine.
And it was classic. Something like he lost like $650 million in like a lawsuit or something like that. And that's when she attacked him and started like abusing him. And then she shit in the bed. This story is crazy.
It's
crazy.
Bananas. Yeah. And then did she have a three-way with Elon Musk and...
Oh my God.
Nothing
would surprise in the world today.
Richard, I don't even know.
I am getting to the point now in this world that we live in. Nothing surprises me anymore.
Oh, you can't be surprised. Oh, you can't. You can't. You can't be surprised by anything.
No. Like, did you read the story? The ladybugs with what's his name? The senator.
Ladybugs. Shit.
Yeah.
You mean Lindsey
Graham? Lindsey Graham. Just do Google Bing Lindsey Graham. Ladybugs when you get a second. And that was news that came in and left. It was just like
yeah, it was just here like, we go. Like just murder hornets.
Just Google it. Yeah. Murder hornets were there. Yeah. Oh, there's hornets that can murder us now. Oh, that's not even like the worst of my problems right now.
UFOs 100% crazy. Exist. Come and gone.
Come and gone. No one come cared.
Nope. That's yesterday's papers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's the news I got, Ryan. Let's get to yours.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, what do you have?
Well, what I have first for you, Rich, is this, as always, the Video Game Minute, brought to you by our friends at Wild Bill Soda, wildbillsoda.com, who are currently going through a rebranding. I think they're just going to Wild Bills.
Oh.
That's what they're talking about now, because they're coming out with...
Scandals and Animals.
No. There's different things. There's different things now. So now, in addition to...
And lemonade.
They have iced teas and lemonades, unsweetened teas, unbelievable things, and more things to come. So please go check out all of our friends at wildbillsoda.com. Use the promo code Ron Von D.
Either Ron way, D. Ryan.
Yes.
I ordered from Wild Bill's.
Yes.
And I ordered, I want to say, like on a Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
I got it on Friday.
Yeah, man.
I've ordered
at no cost pizzas. To you, free shipping, right?
I've ordered pizzas that have taken longer.
Exactly.
I got free shipping. Mm-hmm. I had no tax. And I used the promo code Ron Von D and I got money off.
Boom.
So there you go. That. Promo code. And so, and by the way, I have some delicious black cherry soda and root beer in my fridge right now.
I'll give you some drink recipes.
Yes, I'm dying. I'm dying. Cause I drank the black cherry cold, just on its own. So yep. I wanted to make really and enjoy the flavor.
How was it?
Delicious. I loved it. And yeah. I'm waiting for a nice time to have myself a root beer float.
Okay. There you go. That's a perfect way to do it.
So anyway, what do you have today? Okay.
So today, a lot of stuff. So first and foremost, we have a new stream schedule that came out that was put together by Dr. Joe Scheim and I. So I am going to be on Tuesday, Thursday, Sundays, and I have lineups for all of those things. So it's team or tournament Tuesdays, depending on what it is. So it's either Call of Duty or some team sport kind of thing. Thursday is Throwback Thursday, so we're doing either retro games or platformers.
So I love me some retro games.
So it's either retro games or games that look retro.
Yep, either way. I like either that way, a lot. Right?
And then Sunday Scaries, which we do either like an action game or like a scary game on Sundays.
I like a scary game. You know me, I like to be scared, but I do get scared. And then so I'm like, I wish I wasn't scared.
We were playing Days Gone, which was, I was last night. That was a little bit, so that was good. So, we do have going on this week, the whole stream team, the whole Mac and the Dork Gooniverse, has another
Oh goddamn.
The whole goddamn thing. Shit. So we got another Warzone tournament going on this week.
Nice.
So Scheim, actually as we speak right now, Scheim and Mac are playing their matches. So make sure you go and check out all that stuff. The big news on Sunday we'll be streaming the Ghost of Tsushima, which comes out this week.
Oh yeah.
The much anticipated Sucker Punch game. And they which is actually really cool, they came out with a mode that they're calling Kurosawa mode, which the game is basically, it looks like an old samurai movie. So you can play the game in like black and white, like that sepia tone. So it actually looks super, super cool.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to play it in that. There's a big Ubisoft event today where they did, there's more stuff from Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Watch Dogs Legion, their game Hyperscape. And did you see the trailer for Far Cry 6?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God. Does that look cool or what?
Gus Fring.
And like I said in a tweet, might be the best big bad this century.
Yeah, I think that's actually what would be a good episode.
Yeah, like who's the best bad guy?
Best of,
like,
villain since 2000.
Yeah, he's got to be up there.
Gus Fring is so good. I think The Mandalorian Season 2 might solidify him too.
And he said, now that I'm on that show, he said, like, my next step. They're like, well, so the next step would be like Marvel, right? And he's like, absolutely. Like, that's in my mind, like, that's the next
Doctor record. Doom.
He would be an incredible.
He Dr. would Doom. Smoke it as Doctor Doom.
Incredible.
I think he could do Mephisto. It'd be a little weirder, but I think he could do it.
You could use his voice as just Galactus. Like, he can do his voice as Galactus.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is like, do you want him to be like a CGI character? Or do you want to see him? Like, you know, no matter what, he'd be good.
I think he would be, who is the, is it Kang?
Give me Doom.
Kang the Conqueror?
Kang.
There was someone at...
Yeah, Kang.
So there was...
He was in Infinity War, like the comic book, not the movie.
Yeah, so the reason being is that, like, they've messed with time so much that Kang the Conqueror would be, like, the perfect guy to
be,
like... He'd
be good. I think... Yeah. Doom, though, would be great because I think Doom will end up being a pretty big villain for and go up against a bunch of different characters. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that'd be pretty good.
So that's great. That's cool. Far Cry 6. And so in other video game news, get this, Richard. Somebody paid $114,000 for rare, unopened, original Super Mario Brothers cartridge.
Yeah, seems a bit high.
Well, so are you familiar with the Beckett rates, like cards and stuff?
Yeah,
so
this basically, I used to have the Beckett all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So Beckett rated this at a 9.4, which is like a 10 is like mint. Right. Like no one's ever touched it. No one's ever breathed on it.
Right.
So this is a 9.4. And I guess the why it was so rare. Remember like when you would hang video games and like it had like the little plastic clip, like it, they would hang it on.
Yeah.
Like on the rail. This had the original cardboard cutout hanger thing on it.
Oh,
which apparently makes it very rare. $114,000. The last two bits of news I got, UFC 4, the trailer for that came out. And why this looks particularly interesting to me is you can do backyard fighting and Muay Thai. Like, like the Thai ropes and everything.
Oh, interesting.
And I saw in the trailer just a brief glimpse of Kimbo Slice, pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod, indeed.
But Kimbo, remember all those old Kimbo videos? Like him on YouTube.
There was nothing better. There was nothing better than Kimbo Slice whooping a guy's ass in the backyard.
Bare knuckle.
Nothing better than
in
that.
The backyard. And then
that came
so,
out, we were in college, I think, when that came out.
Yeah, we were in college.
That
was the
sweetest thing.
I remember watching it on E-Bombs World.
Yeah. Yeah. And be like, look at this guy. Watch this guy beat the shit out of this other guy.
And there was one fight where he just like caved in some dude's eye.
Oh, it was awful. Like,
yeah.
And then Dada 5000 was another guy that had monster fights, backyard fighting, or whatever they would call it. And then they fought each other in Bellator. And sadly, they were just both out of shape. And it was not great. But
it was not great.
Yeah.
But the other people, they have Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury in the game too. So actually like big name heavyweight boxers. So I used to love the Fight Night games. Like those were
so good.
Fun. Those were so good. So some of the best games that EA made, Fight Night were so
they
hopefully
were
we get some boxing back.
Yeah.
Anthony Joshua and like Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury probably and Gennady Golovkin are probably and what's his name? Canelo Alvarez. I'm like, those are the only boxers you could probably
That's
name.
It.
I just ripped off five. Yeah.
Mike Tyson.
And Mike Tyson, who could did you see him fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah. He could 54 years old.
Wasn't he gonna fight Holyfield? That was like sort of the thought. Like they're both good shape still.
And then what's it that stupid shithead YouTuber?
Oh, Logan Paul.
Wanted to fight Mike Tyson for like charity. I'm like, he will kill you. You can't do enough steroids that you would make
what
a
about
difference.
Floyd Mayweather.
Tyson.
Is Floyd Mayweather in the
Floyd Mayweather.
Is he
no, you gotta pay him too much. Did you see that thing when he tried to read?
Yeah, was that on the Breakfast Club or what show?
That was on the Breakfast Club. And then
that was so bad.
It was
and
so
then
bad.
50 Cent was like, he's like it.
He said you'd give him $100,000 if you could read a page of Harry Potter.
Correct.
Without screwing up. Which is like the best bet ever.
It's so bad though.
Yeah. Well, that's all the news I got. That's all right, the news
I got. Like, all right, Ryan, let me ask you a very important question. Are you ready for the topic du jour? Well, I'm glad you asked because today it is The Last of Us Part 4. Video game for a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Yes, you said now, 4. It's Last of Us 2. You said The Last of Us 4.
Let me have it back.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post. Wait, let me say it. We'll fix it in post.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Ryan, because today it is the topic of the day, and it's The Last of Us Part 2, which is a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Yeah.
Came out, I want to say, 7 years after the first Last of Us.
Yes.
Which was a PlayStation 1, PlayStation 3 game, and then it was remastered for the PlayStation 4. Fucking numbers, man. What are we doing here? We have, in the history of this fine podcast, we have done, I believe, like 5 video game standalone episodes. Batman, Arkham Knight, Overwatch, Spider-Man for PS4. Shit,
Grand
that might
be... Red Dead?
Red Dead 2, Red Dead? I think.
Yeah.
That, like, honestly might be it. And so we're going to start spoiler-free because this game is has a crazy story, and we can get into some of the gameplay here, but as far as the story is concerned, if people are playing it right now, it is a long game too. I don't want to spoil that because, it's like a movie. It's like a TV show. So let's start spoiler-free here, Ryan, for The Last of Us Part 2. Did you like it?
I did. Very much I did.
Yeah.
Did I liked like it?
Yeah. I liked it a great deal, which leads into my next question, and I say this with no hyperbole. Is this the greatest video game of all time?
No.
Do you want to think about it?
No, I thought about it a lot. I thought about it a lot when you sent out the outline, and I was hard-pressed. I don't think it's as good as the first one.
So that was my other question too. Yeah. Is it better than the first one? No. I have such recency bias.
Yeah.
My gut says yes, but I also haven't played the first one in, it had to be 5 years.
Yeah. So we'll get into it more, but there was a lot of stuff like, and it's like piddly little shit. I mean, this, I will say this right now, this is the best game I've played in the last 2 years.
So I usually, when we talk about movies, I have no distinction between best and favorite. Like, cause I'm like, if it's my favorite, it's the best. That's how I view it.
Yes.
This is how, and I'm a little, I contradict myself a little bit, but with video games, I personally enjoy playing the Batman games and the Grand Theft Auto games more. I would say those are more my favorite, but this is a better game. Like this is an incredible game. I'll already tip my hand. It's a 6 out of 6 game.
Yep.
But so are to me Arkham City, Grand Theft Auto 5. Those type of games are also 6 out of 6. I have a little bit more fun playing those, but I also recognize this game as just being like a few. Like I swear to God, a few times while I played, I stopped and said out loud while playing by myself, "Holy fuck, this is a good game!" Like it's, I said it out loud, just unprompted, just said that out loud. Like this is so good.
And to. Not to drag his good name, sully his good name, but Mac on the Mac and Goo podcast said once, since we're all connected now, he said at one point that like the first person, like the story driven game, the single player game genre is dead. It is not. It is better than it ever has been.
Yeah.
And this game is a shining example of what you can do with a perfect marriage of gameplay and story. Like I feel like that, like those, the story and the gameplay of this game, and it just looked amazing. It's art. Like this is, but I say that and like what? Yeah.
It's
compared to the first one. It's not quite there, but I think it's up there.
The story to me is what really blew me away. Again, I have more fun being Batman. I think most of us would. I had more fun being Spider-Man, but the game itself, I just like the reason why you keep playing is because you're like, how are they going to tell the story? How are they going to finish the story? Where are they going with the story? It's like if you sit down to watch a Netflix show and you're like, I'm going to watch 2 episodes. And then 5 hours later, you're like, shit, I guess I can watch one more. That's what playing The Last of Us is.
It was, and the story itself was a very, very good one and a complex one. Now,
it was so complex. It made you think. And like, I'll fully admit, I'm a dullard. I'm not the brightest bulb in the world.
You are not. Come on.
This game, it makes you think and it makes you reflect. It makes you feel, as corny as that is to say.
Oh, no. And how hard is that, like, for a video game to do that? Other than like,
it's rare. It's very rare. And I don't play as many games as you. Like, I literally play the Batman, Grand Theft Auto, Overwatch, sports games, and like old Nintendo games. So I never am like, move to now. I didn't cry. I'd tell you if I did. I didn't, but I could see how people would while they played this.
Yeah, and one of the things that I found myself doing is when the game ended, I just kind of sat there for 5 minutes
in my pants.
No, I just kind of sat there like this, just like staring at the screen,
just
absorbing kind of. And I think one of the things that going into it, if you haven't played this game yet, it's a game for it's an adult game. It has adult, like, you cannot, like, if I'm a kid, I'm not gonna get this. I'm not gonna get like what they did in this, like, from the storytelling aspect of the game, like the complexity of the characters. Like, there's no game that could do this, none other than this one.
No, it's so well done. And I also, again, I hadn't played the first game in such a long time that I was trying to like remember, like, I remember the major moments, but I unfortunately don't remember every single detail. So I'm sure they paid off a lot of the things there. But as you're playing it, you're reminded of certain things from that game. But then you also get a different perspective, which we'll get into more in spoilers.
Yeah.
But it's a game that I think surprised people with the, this isn't a spoiler because they straight up tell you in the game. You play as two different characters. You play as Ellie and you play as Abby. And I think Abby was a surprise to some people. Maybe they didn't love it. We'll get into how we felt about her coming up. But you play as both of those characters, obviously from the first game where you played as Joel for so much and then a little bit of Ellie. This is a little bit different, but it's that same universe, which they have built so well. And it's not their fault, but there are so many like post-apocalyptic stories, both in TV, movies, comics, and even video games.
Yeah.
And for them to take that and I think do better than anybody else is crazy, because there are so many good stories about zombie type characters and the world is over and now you have to sort of get in different groups and try to survive. That yep. story's been done to death, and yet they found a way to make it better.
And I think, and again, like the first one, I found what was so compelling is you can tell a zombie story and people can be like, oh yeah, end of the world, people die, whatever. But the fact that, like, and I've always maintained that, like, this is a very human story taking in a part in a human world where zombies are clickers, are an inconvenience.
Right.
But humans are still the most dangerous things in the game. Like,
right.
Still.
It's like The Walking Dead's done a pretty good job. With all the flaws The Walking Dead has, that was one thing that they kind of pointed out in their whole idea of, like, The Walking Dead is actually not the zombies. It's the people that are still alive. Yeah. They're The Walking Dead.
Who are all going to eventually die.
Yeah. Right. And so, this game's good at that. Now, I would say, because the first game was made for the PS3 and then remastered for the PS4. This game was made for the PS4.
And you can tell immediately.
Yes. I'm always blown away when you play, like, early PS4 games and then, like, this game. And you're like, you guys are dealing with the same, like, engine here? Like, how come this game looks like this and these other games? Like, this one makes it look like this is already on the PS5, I feel like.
There's some, and the voice acting and the motion capture of this game is untouchable.
Oh, you're watching the show.
How good it is.
You're holding a controller, but you're watching a TV show or a long movie or however you want to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the how you play is very similar to the first one. Like, upgrading your weapons, gathering your weapons, looking for stuff, turning your flashlight on, maneuvering through these things, jumping up over walls, trying to figure out, we need to get in there.
That wasn't kind of part of the first one. If you remember, like, you were kind of like always on the same level as everybody when you were fighting. But now you can get, like, tactical advantages. Like, and that's one of the things. I'm sorry to step on your funk there. I'm just excited.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm
please.
Just excited, should be. Everything that people had a problem with in the first game in terms of gameplay, they fixed.
Yeah.
Like, Ellie is so much faster and more nimbler than Joel.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, some of the fights, like, you felt slow. Like, Joel felt slow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Ellie can kind of, like, move. Like, the dodging mechanic was so fun. Like, we're talking about gameplay.
Gameplay.
You can actually, like, hit a button and dodge.
Yeah.
And really just kind of get around people. Like, that, to me,
dodge, Counter-Strike.
Yeah, and you see these gifs of people playing this game, like the combat system, and like the things, there were things that you could do that I didn't even know you could do that people are doing. Like, if you were, like, running backwards and hit the dive button, you actually slide on your back. Like, you actually slide backwards.
Crazy.
Like, I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
You know, so, like, that's one of the, it's crazy. It's crazy to me, like, the little things they thought of, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so the gameplay is good. Like, there's enough weapons, but it's also, like, you need to have good strategy while you're playing the game.
Yeah.
The storytelling is next level, which we'll get into. I'm trying to think, what else can we say non-spoiler about it before we get into, like, the story and everything?
We can get to the scores. You said a 6.
I already gave it a 6 out of 6.
I'm going to give it a 5.5.
5.5.
Because the first one's a 6. The first one's a 6. If the first one's a 6, this is a 5.5 to me.
So I give them both 6s. Like, I think, but they're on the short list of my favorite games ever. Like, this game was so good. And we'll get into some of the negative reviews for the game.
Yeah.
A couple of them I think we can say here. So reading some of the reviews, it's one of those things that critically it did really, really well.
Yeah. And then it got bombed.
And then it got bombed. I think you can imagine why. We've all kind of dealt with it when we've, like, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, just, like, angry white men jump on these message boards and vote things down for the most part. But besides those things, some of the things I read, even from critics, were the game was too long. And I would say that's not a criticism to me. I feel like, for a game like this, I'm going to sit down, I pay my $60, and I want you to tell me a story, and I want to have fun, and I want to play it. If it was a whole lot shorter, I'd be like, why couldn't you have made it a little bit longer?
There were times, I will say, where it felt long. And this is going to be like, this is bullshit, but, like, I honestly think that you were meant to feel like that. Like, it was meant for you to be like, let's go. And there were times where, like, the story would slow you down. and say, like, we have to take a minute, we have to take a breath, right?
Yeah.
And it allowed room for those slow moments to really get to know who these characters are and what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
But it, like, the to ask, and I think that's a, like, think of, like, video games that are now, like, you just think of your character, you're a singular character, and your mission is to get from point A to point B, and you kill everything in your way. And there's no repercussions. There's mm-hmm. no mm-hmm. consequences from any of that. It's just like, I'm the good guy. I have to get there, and I'm going to go through everybody in front of me.
Right.
And this game takes that and spins it on its head and be like, that's not how the world works.
And if you're just talking storytelling, and if the first game was a movie mm-hmm. or a TV show, again, to say it's a movie, it's kind of tough because that's a lot of hours yeah. of gameplay. So let's say it's a great, well-done series. It's like mm-hmm. two seasons of a show. And you're like, that is perfect. Very difficult to follow up. There are not many sequels that match or outdo. And I know you're not saying it outdoes it, but I think at the very least, you have to admit that it comes close to matching the first yep. one. So hard to do. And I felt like they did it. And like you said, they did it a little bit differently too. I think maybe some of the reasons for the negative reviews were like, oh, I was expecting it to be this way. And then you're like, well, no, man, yeah. they're gonna twist it a little bit because, and we'll get into it in spoilers too, but the whole overall story of The Last of Us 1 does leave you with a little bit of a like, all right, are the good now guys what? The good guys? Are the good guys, like, are they for sure the good guys? Or like, is mm-hmm. there a little bit of a, I don't know, to them?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm giving it a 6. Davey's giving it a 5.5. Let's go to spoilers here.
Sure, let's do it. All right,
so spoilers for The Last of Us Part 2. First of us, Ryan, to the best that you can do, mm-hmm. could you sum up the first game for us? The story of The Last of Us 1.
So Joel is the main character of The Last of Us 1, Joel and Ellie. Joel loses his daughter tragically at the outbreak. There's this outbreak of this disease. Joel, his brother Tommy, and his daughter Sarah trying to get out of Texas. Sarah, his daughter, is tragically killed. That's not a spoiler. It's in the first 5 minutes of the game.
No, but no, this is all spoilers anyway. Spoilers.
Okay, so we're in spoilers.
Spoiler of the first game all you want.
Joel then becomes kind of like this outlaw who's living in Boston in this quarantine zone. He meets Ellie, who is apparently immune to the disease that is going on. She is bitten by one of these clickers and doesn't get infected. So it is believed that she holds the cure to this pandemic that is turning these people into like these plant fungus people.
Right.
Eventually, there's this group of people called the Fireflies who then are looking for Ellie. They're trying to get her to their medical compound, which is in Utah. So the whole game takes place with Joel trying to get Ellie to Utah. Unfortunately, when they get to Utah, the doctor then breaks the news to Joel that in order for them to get to the part of Ellie's brain where this cure is located, or this whatever is going on with her is located, they will have to kill her. So Joel makes the decision at the end of the game to save Ellie and kill all of the Fireflies. So that plan for a global cure falls flat, and Joel makes the decision to save Ellie like he couldn't save his own daughter, and then right. basically raise her as his own.
And in that game, you play as Joel for most of the game, but there is yep. a part where you play as Ellie, and I think that is where most of us really got attached to Ellie as well.
Yes.
Like, you liked her because you loved Joel, and Joel was the guy that you were using, and you would do anything that Joel was set to do. He loved Ellie, but then there's those moments where Ellie becomes very important, including you playing as her and basically saving Joel, and so you're right. like, all right, I am now in with her. But you're right, like, what a dilemma. I'm not even gonna ask you because, like, it's
no
just
question.
So fucked. You have daughters. I have a daughter. It's like,
I would not hesitate. I would not hesitate. Like, it doesn't matter to me. You know,
to kill the doctors.
Oh yeah, God yeah.
Yeah yeah yeah. That, yeah. Same with me. Right. Yep. Same with me. But you're like, but from the outside, like, if it's not your daughter, you're like, you wait a minute. You could save all these people. It's almost like right now, in a fucking sick way, you were like,
yeah,
with the coronavirus, like, if your daughter, and I hate to do this, but I'm just, or
no,
like,
it's fine. Yeah.
Or the listener's daughter is yeah. like, is the key to stopping coronavirus. But sorry, like, we have to get into her brain. I'm like, fuck that.
No. Find somebody
and
else.
So, right. And by the way, I don't know if they ever said in the game, but that wasn't like 100% guarantee.
It wasn't 100% guaranteed. And you know, Joel lies at the end. At the end of the story, he lies and tells her that there's dozens of people like you. It wasn't going to work, you know, and basically like sold her this bill of goods. And basically like, yeah, he lied. He lied. And flash forward, you know, to now we're into part two.
So now they're in what, Jackson?
Jackson, Wyoming. Yeah.
Wyoming. And it's like 5 years later.
And something like, yeah, five or seven. Yeah, something 7 years later.
Then,
years,
so yeah. then, but then Ellie finds out kind of the truth. Right?
Finds out the truth. And it kind of pieces it together. Like the story does a really good job of kind of jumping back and forth.
So that was one of the other criticisms that I read. I didn't feel this way, but I read it, is that all the time jumping people were upset with.
I loved it.
I thought it was great.
It rounds out
And if you didn't have that, first of all, I think the game's too short. And second of all, I just think that that was so good because you would get close to something. You're like, all right, there's about to be a breakthrough. And then it jumps back to like 5 years earlier, 3 months earlier, whatever. And it's just more story building. And like, you know me, I love Tarantino. Tarantino's always messing around with the timeline. Like, I think it's good. And I thought you get a lot out of that. And you're sort of seeing how Ellie and Joel's relationship continued after the first game.
Yeah, and you also get what's equally as important is you're introduced to Abby as this person who's like, holy shit, is she a fucking badass? Mm-hmm. Like, she's a badass, and like, but then you get the other side. Like that, and I think that is such an important thing for people to understand, is that like, you can't just go around killing people and doing whatever you want. Like, you can't do that. You can't hurt people and expect you to be seen as the good guy.
Right. Especially when, again, they weren't just killing clickers or the zombies or whatever. They weren't just doing that all along. They're killing people. And so when you find out that Abby's father was the doctor that was looking for the cure and was like, obviously he didn't want to kill Ellie.
But played by Billy Riggins, by the way.
Was that?
That's Billy Riggins.
Billy Riggins?
Yeah.
And so he's like, I have to, like, this is what we have to do. And then Joel obviously kills him. And then so pretty early on in The Last of Us 2, you get Abby and a group of the wolves. She's now part of the wolves. So now like the Fireflies are kind
don't
of
exist done. Anymore.
Yeah. Fireflies are cooked. So you have the wolves, you have the Scars, you eventually get like the Rattlers or whatever we'll get to.
Yeah, we'll get to them.
And so Abby's a part of the wolves. They track down Joel, Tommy, Ellie, and all of them. And they fuck them up and they just bash Joel's head in right in front of you.
Right in front
of you. And so early on, I think everybody playing the game was so pissed. And you were like, let me control Ellie or Tommy even, which they don't let you do in the game. And I will kill all these wolves. I will kill this Abby person. I don't want to play as her. And I'll kill all of them. Boy, was I surprised, Ryan, that as we're playing the game, you end up playing as Abby a lot. And so they do a great job of doing. So then Ellie has to go to Seattle. That's where the wolves are. So she tracks her down. So that Ellie has 3 days in Seattle. Abby has 3 days in Seattle. Then there's like the whole meetup. As I'm playing as Abby, I ended up loving her to the point where I never thought I would say this. Preferred Abby over Ellie.
Yeah, and that's
I was team like, Abby all the way.
You were team Abby all the way, and isn't that a fucked up thing? And how many times have I said on this podcast that the best villains, quote unquote, are the ones that you actually get to? You make sense. Like, it makes sense to me what you're saying.
We mentioned it a bunch. Killmonger from Black Panther.
Yeah,
Imagine if they did even more Killmonger, where like they told the story even more from his side. You might even be like, I'm even more on this guy. Like, wait a minute. Like, he's bringing up a lot of good points. Like, that's a one-sided shitty villain. Like, it's almost a joke now. Like, the villain was like, I'm going to take over the world. It's like,
and you're like, why? And you're like, doesn't matter. Suicide Squad. We're going to bring darkness to the world.
Doesn't make sense. It's stupid.
This
is so good. And then you're asking yourself, all right, wait, so are Ellie and Joel kind of the bad guys?
Kind of.
Grand scheme of things, they are. But then again, if you put yourself in Joel's shoes, you and I would both do the same thing. So I think it's so fucked.
And that, given the time that this game was released, given what's going on, I think the most important thing that this game does is like, you need to see other people's perspective. You need to be like, as someone mentioned in the chat, the best word, like empathy. You need to understand why I do the things that I do and why I am the way that I am. and you like, and you, there's a responsibility. Everything I do affects everyone around me. And you know, like, mm-hmm. and again, being a parent, like everything I say and do affects my kids. Everything right. I say and it affects my wife. It affects my job. Right. It affects everything. And like having, it's just like actions have consequences, right? And mm-hmm. that's like boiling, that's being like completely reductionist and boiling it down to like the simplest thing. But like I said, I mean, play Doom, right?
Right.
All you do is you, and fucking great game. Like,
love it.
It's awesome, right? But you blow through that game, killing everything in sight. And at the end, you get to be the hero. Like, that doesn't work like that.
Right.
Like, you can harm, you harm people who have families, who have, who loved ones. And like, right. that matter. Like, in this game, that matters.
It's so crazy, though, how it switched for me.
Yeah.
And,
but isn't it crazy that you play as Abby before she kills Joel?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you have this like connection to this character, and you're like, oh, I kind of like, because she's so much. If Ellie is like a cat who's like nimble and like get around uh-huh. people with a knife, just like fucking Abby is a sledgehammer. And like, depending on how you like to play, you play them two different ways.
Oh, yeah.
You come to understand this character and the things that she can do that that Ellie can't do, and vice versa. You start to get like a feel for her, and then you're like, fuck her. Right. Oh, and the game did that. They made you do that.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, fire. They made you play as the person who killed Joel.
Yeah.
Which was an amazing thing to do.
It was.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Now, I feel like the game probably made the right choice because it was their story and it was not a choose your own adventure. But right. the original confrontation. So after the 3 days in Seattle for both mm-hmm. characters, you have Ellie versus Abby, and you're actually controlling Abby. Now,
yes.
One thing I did think was weird was that you couldn't just run full go at Ellie, because I feel like Abby no. would overpower Ellie.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But you would like miss it. But like,
and but anyway. No, but my question is,
yeah.
I thought that they would at that point in the game give you the option. It'd say like,
no, I think, yeah,
like, L2 play as Ellie, R2 play as Abby, and right. it's a fight to the death. And you have to then choose sides. I kind of was waiting for that. And I, at that point, would have picked Abby.
And you never got it.
No, you didn't. And so you win as Abby, and then, but she doesn't kill her. And oh my God, how fucking insane. I get chills thinking about it. When Abby finally gets the upper hand, you're controlling her. You get the upper hand on Ellie. You had already left Tommy for dead, or so you mm-hmm. thought. And then you grab Dina, and you're about to slit Dina's throat. And Ellie goes, she's pregnant. And Abby says, good.
Good, because at the time, Ellie had killed Mel.
Correct. Who was pregnant with Owen's baby.
But didn't know.
Didn't know until after. Pregnant.
But it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Like in Abby's mind, that doesn't matter. And she goes, good. And like that, like.
And then was it Lev was the one that was like,
don't.
Whoa,
yeah. Don't. And the other thing too, is like, there was this moment.
That was crazy.
Where they finally see each other in Seattle. And Abby says to Ellie, we let you go. We let you live. And you wasted it.
Yeah.
Like you could have just let this go.
Yeah.
And just been done with it. Like eye yeah. for an eye. Like he killed my dad. I killed him. We're done.
That's what's like, so fucked about the choice at the end of the game. Because mm-hmm. twice, Abby could have killed Ellie.
And didn't.
Easily. When she killed Joel, they had the upper hand. Ellie was on the ground. They had more. There was more wolves there. Could have killed Ellie. And Abby said, nope, not going to do it.
And
killed
there's
Joel,
a part
cause Joel, because Joel's the guy who killed her father. So that's right. all she thought. I'm going to kill this person. Then after, and she even says to Ellie, like, you killed all my friends. You killed yeah. all my friends.
Yeah.
And the game does such a good job of like, you as Ellie kill those friends before you even care about them at all.
Right.
And then you go back and you're living the days through Abby. And you're like, wait a minute. That's the girl I killed. That's the guy I killed. I killed that guy.
Yeah.
And it's fucked. But so to me, that's twice. And this is why I ended up hating Ellie by the end of it, which again mm-hmm. is crazy, is Tommy shows up. Tommy's limp. Tommy should be dead, by the
Tommy should be dead. By the way, how fucked was it that like at one mission, you were like, there was a sniper and you're like, oh, we get to kill this sniper.
I knew that was everybody. Tommy too.
And like, you knew it was Tommy the whole time. But it didn't matter because when you saw him, you're like,
That was one of the tougher runs for me. I died a bunch on that run. Like
Tommy can shoot
in the garage, and like the because the combination of him shooting and then all the clickers coming at you, like
that was tough. That's the other great thing about this game too. It was just hard enough.
So I played on whatever the mode was that it comes at. I think there's like five total modes. I played at the one in the middle, and it's like perfectly. It's challenging, but you can do it. Like that's what I need. Like I like the Bloodborne, not for me.
So fucking
game like this is for me.
It's but not so, frustrating. It's challenging. It's not hard.
I can't do it. So so Tommy shows up to Ellie's house. She and Dina and Dina's child or their child now. It was with Jesse. They so JJ is the kid. And they're there. They're living on a farm all by themselves. They got all these animals. They're having a great life. A great life.
Yeah.
All, you know, all things considered. And then Tommy shows up and he's like, I think I know where like Abby is.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking Ellie leaves. And I was just like, that to me, I that's when I was already team Abby, but that's when it confirmed it for me because Abby could have killed Ellie twice easily killed her twice. Could have killed Dina.
Yep.
Could have really finished off Tommy. Didn't do any of that. And then Ellie's like, I'm going to leave my basically wife and daughter or son, I mean, and I'm going to trek my ass down to Santa Barbara. Fuck that, man.
No. And like, that's the thing. Like she couldn't let it go. Like she couldn't let it go. And like, that was the whole problem, the whole game. But again, like, and this is like, this is going to go on forever. Like this is, and you get that feeling that like, she doesn't have the choice. Like she's never going to make the choice to stay home. So she's never going to make the choice because like,
so do you think she's still going to go after her again?
No.
When the game's all said and done.
No.
Cause then they fight. And I'll tell you what, I didn't like fighting as her.
No,
I didn't like fighting when, cause not only that you're in the water. So the Rattlers are like this other crew, which is really getting into the scars.
No, but. And the thing is like, oh, I have to talk about this. Remind me to talk about the scars, but like the thing that, but was it the Rattlers at the end?
Rattlers at the end, which they were just
like. It felt kind of shoehorned in. Like I didn't give a shit about the Rattlers. I didn't.
No. And it was definitely really short. They weren't expanded on like the other ones were. Basically like the scars are like a cult. The wolves are like in a way the Fireflies kind of.
Yeah, they're like an offshoot of the Fireflies.
Kind
of like, yeah.
And then, but it was basically just a point to sort of like get Lev and Abby. And then you go through their little compound pretty easily. And then they're on the beach and she's like being like hung up there and you cut her down. So she's kind of, they did a good job in the game too. Like she was clearly like emaciated. She wasn't as strong as she was before.
End game, Abby was.
Hard to look at, hard to listen to. Mm-hmm. And then they fight and fucking Ellie has a knife and you're like cutting Abby. I'm like, I don't want to do this.
And the whole thing of going to Santa Barbara was like, I just don't want to do this. Like this
I didn't want to do it.
But that's like, it's the, they did that on purpose. I know that was a choice. They're like, we're going to make you do
Abby.
It.
I'm like, leave Abby alone, man. I'm like, and then as soon as Abby and Lev got kidnapped, I'm like, mm-hmm. I want to fight out as Abby. Or Lev, and then they're like, now you jump back to Ellie, and you're like, fuck this.
And like, what's the point?
And then so they fight, and then Ellie kind of like lets her go, and then so she leaves. You don't know how she's gonna do. It's her and Lev, because you know, Yara died a while ago. There's some crazy scenes with Yara. Mm-hmm. And then Ellie's kind of defeated, she loses a couple fingers, she goes back home, Dina's gone, JJ's gone.
Which she gave up two pieces of herself. In order to do that, literally and figuratively. So she gave up her son and she gave up her wife.
Yep.
And that's indicated as losing two fingers.
Smart.
Like,
I got a question for you. And our producer, John Anderson from Dale and Keefe, asked me this. He beat the game real quick, too, just like you did. Did Abby know? I'm sorry. Did Ellie know that Abby's dad was the doctor? And we don't think that she did. I think Ellie was like, oh, I get why you're pissed at Joel because Joel prevented like the cure. But I don't think she realized the personal connection.
I don't think she did either. But she's like, there was a moment,
which is also frustrating because you're like, maybe if she knew that, she'd kind of get it more.
But she also said like, and the other thing too, that really bothered me was like, Ellie was pissed at Joel. Because she said, my life could have meant something. Like, my life could have mattered. Right? And, like,
Yeah.
So Ellie, in her mind, was like, I should have died.
Yeah.
I should have died there. Like,
she was mad at Joel. How fucked is that?
And she's like, I would have. First of all, like you said, there's no guarantee. But she was mad at Joel for making that choice for her.
Right.
And that's kind of a like fucked up thing to carry around with you, that knowing now that you were it, mm-hmm. you were the cure. And now she's hell bent on like throwing her life away. Like she like, because I think that's it. Like it doesn't matter. Fireflies are gone. The only people who could have done this, they're gone. You killed them. And that's right. why she's, and I think Abby at one point says to like Ellie, like your boy, I'm paraphrasing, but like he killed a lot of people, like a lot, Joel even did. More than just, yeah. And like when you meet Joel in The Last of Us 1, like after, like when he's in Boston, not a good dude.
No.
And him and his girl Tess are like gun running and like doing all sorts of shady shit. Like who knows who else they killed.
Right.
Cause he doesn't need, they allude to it that like he did a lot of bad, him and Tommy did a lot of bad shit. Like when they were like after Sarah died.
Right.
You know, so it's like just the fact that they make you play the other side. And like you said, there's no choice. Like usually like a Resident Evil game, like you play as one character. And then when you're done, you'd be like, oh, do you want to play as this character and see the other side of it?
Right.
This
right.
was just like, no, you don't get a choice. Like this is just how it's going to be. And it's the same experience for everybody. And it's tough. Like there, it is heavy at times.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a lot of mature themes.
What did you think of the Abby love making scene with Owen?
That was unexpected, but welcome.
correct.
But I love the stuff with Lev. I love the representation there and how Lev was this. What was her name before? Lily. His name Lily, and then went to Lev, and the, and how they were like basically thrown out of the Scars community. I forget what they call them. Seraphites.
They call themselves Seraphites. Everybody else called them Scars.
I was reading a Twitter thread about the Scars, and they actually brought in championship and like world renowned whistlers. And there are, if you play the game again, there are 20. And someone brought up a point. Nuclear Monkey brought up a point. Did you notice that all the non playable characters had names? All of your enemies had names.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's fucked.
Yeah.
They're not nameless. Well, they're not faceless. No. They're people.
Like, that's not on purpose. Like,
they make you kill dogs. How'd you feel about the dog stuff?
So fuck.
Did you avoid dogs?
Another reason why I didn't like Ellie. You only kill dogs as Ellie.
That's true.
Because Abby has dogs. Abby is the one, like, the wolves dogs. Had dogs.
Yeah.
So you as Abby, you get to pet dogs and throw balls for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie's the only one that I killed him with. And I only did because like they were going to sniff me out and the mission was going to be over. So I'm glad you brought that up. Another reason I didn't like playing with her.
The Scars, they have 26 unique whistles. It's an actual language that the game developers put in. And some of them are like call and response, just like checking in. Someone's like, I saw something over here.
Like, you can tell. Like some are more intense than others.
Yeah. And you can tell. And there's, so they did, not only did they do whistles, but they did multiple variations of whistles. So like you said, so like if someone just like, hey, I think I saw something versus like, I saw something like that whistle, it's the same, but it's a different pitch and a different like.
Crazy.
But like they brought in people to like record different whistles.
What did you think they're talking of to each other? What we were led to believe of their leader, like the Scars leader.
I mean, that's it's all like peace and love. And then what's amazing too is this whole theme of like perspective and this whole theme of like empathy comes up, because it's like you get the story of the wolves and like wolves and the Scars, and both sides are like, well, you started it. We had a truce.
They both claim to want peace. It. Right.
Yeah.
You get Isaac's perspective. Isaac's the leader of the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
But what was also crazy is, so Abby is like one of the best wolves and has killed so many Scars.
Yep.
And then it's that moment where Yara and Lev save her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of flips on it. And all of a sudden.
And then you have her people being like, what are you doing with her people?
Right.
Her own people turn on her. Cause like, what are you doing with them?
Crazy.
Yeah. And so that's like, I think by the end of the game, why you identify more with Abby is she's grown.
I 100% did. I couldn't believe it.
And she's figured it out and she doesn't want to do this anymore.
I know.
Whereas Ellie won't stop. And that's the difference in perspective. Like you have Abby, who's just like,
it's nuts.
And I just want to be done. Like, I just want to be done with it. And Ellie won't let it go.
Well, and Tommy makes that worse too, because she doesn't go to Santa Barbara without Tommy.
No, and Tommy said, like you said, brother.
And he's like, I can't go, because he's like limping around.
Yeah. And he's like, you got to see this through.
So do you assume that Dina just went back to Jackson?
I think she had to have.
Must have, right?
Must have. And I think...
Do you think Ellie's going there?
No.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
She kind of knew that was her chance.
That's
it. She chose revenge over a potentially satisfying life.
And what that does is that takes pieces of you away. Like being angry, being... you know, grief, or like all of these things, PTSD, like think of all these like mental things, like they take pieces of you, and then you see the representation in Ellie, she loses her two fingers. I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's an amazing accomplishment in like what it is to like tell a story in game.
It's just an incredible story. Yeah. I liked Owen, the character of Owen. I thought he was pretty good, although sort of tough. He went from Abby to Mel, then kind of back to Abby, and then didn't really know what to do. Yep. And what was crazy too is he was the one that was like, oh yeah, Santa Barbara, Santa Barbara, Santa Barbara.
Yeah. And I just
like, yeah. It's like, just, what's next for Abby and Lev? They were going to what they thought were
the Fireflies. So there's like one Firefly camp left. And remember, the guy says on the radio, he's like, I'll see you soon.
Yeah, but was that the Rattlers setting them up? Or was that them? Or do you think there are some?
I think there are some Fireflies left.
Because I didn't know if that was because she was like, got all excited, and then they were like right onto her. Or like they just happened to be in that area.
I think they just happened to be in the area.
They weren't like talking with her? Okay.
No. Because remember, they get Ellie too, briefly.
Yeah.
So, but again, I thought that they were a little shoehorned in there.
They kind of were. I think they were looking for like, all right, how do we end this? How do we get like a confrontation that's a little bit different? And it was sort of like Ellie being like, I'm not gonna let them kill her, I need to kill her type of deal. You know, you're like, all right, pretty interesting.
So someone said here, when you beat the game, the start screen is Abby's boat docked at the island they were going to. I just took it more as like that last fight scene with Ellie and Abby, it's in a fog, like the whole, like you can't see anything, like it's just the two of them and it's gray and it's murky and whatever, and then at the end the credits roll, you get back to the title screen and it's sunny. So it's like there's this thing that's fog, it's been lifted, like you understand at the very, like you at the end you finally get both of their perspectives. Like it's
did
not
you like the ending there. Did you think it was a good ending, like the fact that Abby, Ellie, and Tommy are all alive is kind of surprising.
It's kind of surprising, but how many people died? You know what I mean? So like,
oh, so many. I mean, Mel, Joel and Owen and Jesse Mel and Yara. Wait, like Owen died, right? Yeah. You killed Owen.
Yeah. They got Owen the same time they got Mel.
Jesse.
Yeah. All of Abby's friends, like the whole crew.
Well, it's that funny was there because like Abby's friends, you kill them before you get to know them. So like some of them, I wasn't sure. Like Mel obviously stood out for obvious reasons, but some of the other ones you weren't really sure. Cause you're just like Ellie and you're going through it and like, you're looking for Abby and like, you know who Abby is, but the other characters you don't know. Was it Nora? Nora was the other like scientist.
Nora. And then there was like, Hector. What was the guy's name?
I forget, but there was, you kill like all her friends. And that's why she's like, you killed all my friends.
But then it was cool though. Cause you get, I forget the guy's name. But the thing with Tommy, like Tommy kills him before you really get. And then there's a scene right after that where like him and Abby are like walking through the stadium and they're like getting food and they're talking. You meet the guy's dad.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, oh, fuck. Like, you know how it ends.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. I'm just like,
yeah, they do a good job. They did a good job of the game. It was just, I mean, it's as good as it gets, I think.
It's just, ugh.
Anything else in the game, Ryan? I mean, we could you could talk about it forever.
I could talk about this forever, but I think.
Do you remember any of the toughest parts to you?
The toughest part for me was Ellie killing Mel. And
What about gameplay wise?
Oh, the toughest part. Okay, so the hardest part.
Yeah.
It's always when like you, because you always want to be quiet. You always want to, but when all hell breaks loose, Oh, and by the way, the Rat King.
Oh,
that big where it was like all like the clickers like mushed together.
Oh,
and then you kill one and it breaks off, and then there's two of them, and you're like, oh fuck.
And
like
that and, was and it was so dark that you didn't know where the fuck to go. That to me was definitely one of the toughest parts. You're right. I played that a few times.
And one of the coolest things, like the one of the coolest mechanics of the game, it was a little thing. You could like slip through cracks.
Yeah.
Like that was X. That was so helpful. And you were just like, it like it just bought you like enough of a second.
Yeah, there were definitely some times where there were bloaters where like sometimes you had to kill them, other times you could just kind of run away from them.
And that was the thing. Like they actually encouraged it watching like the state of play, like PlayStation. Like sometimes you just run, like you just have to run.
And like there were not times normally like, you think you got to clear out a room, but you're right. Sometimes you just
sometimes you have to make the choice to just I got to get out of here. Like I can't do this.
That's definitely true.
And there's times I'm like looking at the gun, I'm like three bullets, and there's like 12 guys. Like I just got to go.
And then sometimes the way like I would die, and then the way it would resave, I was getting pissed because like I would start, and like every time I started, I had to like wrap myself up, get like heal myself. Yep. Then like make a bomb, reload, and you're like fucking it, and you just kept doing just that like, over and over again. Like,
unless I was stuck, I would avoid fighting. But the toughest parts emotionally for me, again, the end, like seeing Abby at the end was tough.
I think not only seeing Abby, but then fighting her, and you're controlling Ellie with a knife, and you're like, I don't want to.
And the hardest part was like. Like you said, you wanted to be Abby in that scene.
Yes.
She did, but she didn't, and she didn't want to fight. She didn't want to fight. And she was like, all right. Like,
and she even recognized her too when she was hanging up there. She's probably delirious and she sees her and she's like, it's you?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? And she's like, there's boats over there. She's like, let's just like,
get in a boat and you go your way. I go my way. We're done. Like, you win, you know?
Right.
And fuck, it's just one of those it sticks with you. Yeah.
Nuclear Monkey wants to know favorite weapons.
Flamethrower was incredibly useful at the end.
Flamethrower, good call.
Yeah.
Flamethrower was good. I like just like the pump shotgun or whatever.
I loved Abby's assault rifle. Was I completely kitted that.
Oh, that was helpful. I didn't like it at first. But then on some of the things, I ended up getting good with the crossbow.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, so you could like pick off like five guys without even like making a sound. That ended up being really helpful.
You put a bow or a crossbow in my hands in a game, I'm using it.
Mm-hmm.
Like for sure. But yeah, Abby's weapon was incredibly helpful. I loved the hunting pistol.
Oh, yeah.
Abby's hunt, the high powered pistol. Like that thing was badass.
I was like, too. You could just one shot guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How about Abby's, like when you would go stealth? And like you're used to Ellie like stabbing guys like 100 times, and then Abby just chokes him out.
Just chokes him out, or just like smashes their head into a wall. Like,
amazing.
And quicker too. Like yeah. I don't know. It just
so it's damn near perfect. My one issue with that part of the gameplay, and maybe I just screwed this up, but I feel like if you were trying to stealth kill somebody and you were doing it quiet. It took a while,
yeah.
But if you were trying to kill somebody stealth-wise and somebody saw you, you could just like snap their neck.
You could do that, or you could hold them up as a shield.
I know, but if you like so snap like, their neck quick, my question would be, why don't you always do that?
Makes noise. I don't know.
Oh like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So, exploding arrows. Yeah, those were good too. There was so much like I have to play this game again. One, because it just sticks with you. Like it just
is. Oh my God.
And like I said, I just stood there looking at the boat and just like
fuck.
Just staring at the boat.
But then like such a great job with like and the for the critics out there that had issues with like the flashbacks, it's just so much character development when you have like Ellie and Joel in like the museums looking at dinosaurs
on the spaceship
or you have like you have Abby with her father, so you get to know him a little bit more, and then her flashbacks as like a little like a much younger girl running into the hospital and seeing like her dad dead, and like
and you had to do that several times. But the thing that keeps you going too is like there's this heavy game. But like what was great is they showed you that this horrible life that these two women are living wasn't always bad.
Right.
Like there were these beautiful moments in this game that these two characters had with people they loved and why it mattered. And like, I feel like that flushed them out a little bit more, you know, and, but just goddamn, man, I could talk about this game for hours. We did this with Spider-Man too. Like
we definitely could. Things, oh, there's so like, much more. I mean, it's like, it's basically like a 25 hour show, but also with gameplay. Like there's, we could definitely do three episodes on this, but I also just think, you know, at one point, to what you were saying, like Ellie is with Dina and they look like they're happy, and they're Abby, like there's a chance that maybe her and Owen go off together to like Santa Barbara, and you're like,
in the hey, sailboat,
like,
yeah,
you guys are gonna make it work here. And then it's just like, nope, because of just like Ellie's revenge tour, and like the whole thing is just it's crazy. Great, crazy game, awesome game.
And then so like the thing that fucking broke my heart too, as you know, a guitar player.
Oh, fuck. I'm glad you brought that up. How much guitar was there?
I played a lot of guitar.
Yeah.
Did you see Mark Hoppus from Blink 182 played Damn It on the...
My favorite song, my favorite Blink song. And he played it on the thing and was singing. He like forgot the lyrics.
Yeah. But when she got home and she found the guitar and she couldn't play it anymore. And that was like...
And she left it there. I thought that's how the game was going to end.
Fucking, you leave a Taylor, like a $3,000 Taylor, like... Leave. All right, cool. But
I was wondering what, because I don't play the guitar, and I was wondering, I assumed they made it where it was like it's legit.
Yeah, it's in like keys. So they
So
what you got essentially was like
could you play a song on it?
Yeah. So okay. I played a couple songs. And the other thing that I really was so glad that I did. I think the first two times I played it, I streamed it. And then I was like, I found myself just not talking, like not interacting with chat. No,
it's not
a stream game.
And then like, I know you streamed it and you were ahead of me in the game. And I'm like, I don't want to be spoiled on it. So I didn't watch it. And I'm sure other people felt the same way.
No, it's not a game you stream. And I'm glad that I did it on my own, because I had to definitely have like a moment, you know?
I mean, I feel like if you waited a couple weeks and then did like another playthrough with all your upgrades, I think people might watch that.
Yeah,
because it's like after the fact, but like right now it was just it's too fresh, it's too much. Now there's always been rumors about them adapting this as a movie or a TV show, and I know you said in the past no.
Well, I don't want Ellie and Joel. I would love a series with like Tommy and the people of Jackson, like around it. And what's Tommy's wife's name? Maria.
Maria.
So it'd be like Tommy and Maria, like trying to build Jackson.
What about Abby post Last of Us 2? Abby and Lev.
Yeah. And there's always that threat of like, Ellie. Is Ellie done? Is Ellie done? I don't think so. I don't think she's done.
Can't be. She can't be done. She's nuts. Fuck.
But man. It's a brilliant game. It's a brilliant story.
It's a game. Let us know what you guys think. Dork Podcast on Twitter, and probably easier, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. If you have longer thoughts, let us know. We loved the game. It was crazy. Lived up to the expectations too, which is hard to do. It's been the most anticipated game for a couple of years because it's been pushed back a little bit. Ugh. And it lived up to it. It was awesome. So anything else? Last of Us?
Play it.
Okay.
Buy a PlayStation and play it. I mean, this is like... Like, you got to have, like, Microsoft, like, there's not even touching. They're not even touching PlayStation's exclusives.
No, the two best games I've played in the last year are Spider-Man and Last of Us 2.
Mm-hmm.
So,
fucking great, man.
Kind of it. All right, let's go.
Pick of the pod.
All right, it's time for the pick of the podcast. Ryan, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal?
I will kick.
All right, I will receive. This is kind of a cop-out because it's also a plug for next week's episode.
Yep.
My pick of the podcast is The Unsolved Mysteries, as it is back. It is on Netflix. It is 6 total episodes. Actually, I have one more to go. I'm out of order.
Watched 2.
I've seen 5 out of 6.
Mm-hmm.
I got one more to go, but we are going to do an episode next week on it, and we may or may not be joined by our murder mystery squad. As we should be. And we'll go through this. So Unsolved Mysteries, we all remember it as a kid. It is back on Netflix, 6 stories. And out of the 5 I've seen, they're all a little bit different. They're all very different. And so let us know what you guys think. So watch that right now, or at least between now and next week, and we will discuss it then. What do you got?
To kickflip off your ideas, once you get done with Unsolved Mysteries, what I would like to have you watch on HBO Now or HBO Max or whatever you have is the series I'll Be Gone in the Dark. I watched the first episode. This is based on the Michelle McNamara investigation into the Golden State Killer.
Oh, that's already out? I've been meaning to watch that. That's out
so
now?
That's out now. So Michelle McNamara, who was married to Patton Oswalt, and she passed away. And this went forward with his blessing and stuff. And so the first episode I did watch, and it is incredibly well done.
Because she was obsessed with this.
Obsessed with it. And she was just a writer. Like, she had no...
Right.
Like, I don't think she had, like, a criminology background, but she was just fascinated and, like, obsessed is the wrong word, but just, like, completely... Well, yeah.
More than interested.
But this guy, more than interested. So this about the Golden State Killer who terrorized in the 70s and 80s, responsible for 50 home invasions, 50 home invasion rapes and 12 murders. And they just recently caught this guy.
It's fucked.
It's fucked. Like, so... if you're a fan of true crime, I mean, it doesn't get it's HBO and true crime. It doesn't. It's a great combination. Doesn't get any better.
How many episodes is it? Do you know?
Six.
And also, the first one just came out.
Yep.
All right. So I will watch that for sure. Mm-hmm.
So definitely check that out for sure.
Very cool. You can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Tell a friend. Tell a dork. We're everywhere. I think except for Spotify. It's not really our thing. It's
not our thing. It's
radio.com EEI thing. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dork Podcast. You can follow us or subscribe to our YouTube channel as well, where we stream our episodes live on Monday nights. Go to youtube.com/Dork Podcast. Follow Davey on Twitch, twitch.tv/RVonD. And of course, we are a part of the hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse.
There's a
Facebook page, so search us out there on Facebook. It is us. It is Mac and Goo. It is the Pop Culture Pile Driver with Rossi and Billy D. It is the Change My Mind Pod with Fryer and Wesley. Also, Davey Scheim and Backcracker, Dr. Joe on Twitch.
Yeah.
So they do a good job on the Facebook page of letting you know when all the new podcasts, all the streams are going on. So give that a like or follow or whatever the hell is going on Facebook now. Just, you know, do that. Anything else?
Just I'm like, I gotta play video games now. I gotta play The Last of Us again.
Davey's gonna be streaming on Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, and he's also part of the stream team on Scheim's channel talking video games and video gamers.
Cool. Speaking of
Wednesday night,
tomorrow night is the All-Star Home Run Derby for the Digital Red Sox. Don't think we slept another, we're still doing it.
Oh, Dick Sox. Dick Sox. Well, we haven't seen real baseball yet. You never know when they can pull the plug on that. So
I'm still ready. Dick Sox going on.
So check that out again. Subscribe to the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/RVonD. Ryan, you know what they say about wombats?
They get those square buttholes.